welcome back to another exciting episode of Extra Features Interviews. Before we get into the interview or even do to our guest, I just wanted to state that English is a second language, so it's not that she didn't hear me. Maybe I'm talking too fast, or we're going to go, probably might have to ask questions twice, so just so our listeners know. The film today is Karate in Ontario, The Uphill Battle, The Cost of Raising a Champion. And Maria Morgonova, I hope I got that right.
Yes.
It's very nice to come on here, even though it's going to be tough for her and me, but we're going to do this. So welcome to the show. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm so proud, and I really like your podcast. And today I spent all my day listening to your interview with other filmmakers, and I was very impressed.
Well, thank you so much. But this is your time to shine. That's a good conversation we can have after. I really want to know, what made you make this film?
This film has a background. We have a few events leading to the creation of the uphill battle. My husband, Oleg Morgonov, he is an executive director of Welcome House, a non-profit organization dedicated to healthy lifestyle for children. And in 2015, as a part of the Panam Games promotion, my husband sought to hold a series of recreational tournaments for non-elite athletes. It was known as Toronto Karate Kids League. And the tournaments were sanctioned and financially supported by the city of Toronto. So he got a grant to provide this series of tournaments. However, the governing body of karate in Ontario refused to recognize competitions. It was a very sad moment when provincial sports organizations suggested that Welcome House should give part of grant money, it means to share the grant with them, to receive the permission to run the tournaments. And when my husband refused, provincial sports organizations sent official letters to all members of Karate Ontario, where they clearly banned clubs from participation in tournaments. As a result, all children didn't get the affordable training. There are not many karate tournaments organized professionally in Ontario. And of course, it was tragedy for my husband. Until that stage, we hadn't fully recognized the level of corruption presented in provincial sports organization.
You're angry and you're dissatisfied with the system. I'll help you out.
Kind of. Because, you know, it was such a wonderful project. My husband is a very good event manager and he understands karate professionally, and he's a very good promoter.
Okay, I hate to bring you back in, but how did this make you get to the film?
I tried to help him, and being a journalist, being a filmmaker, and being a producer, I realized that the only one way to change the situation is to interview people and to give the truth, how it could happen, what was the reason, and why this so strange administration worked with children. So briefly, this is the story that happened before.
Okay. I'm going to ask some questions because I didn't know that. Did the person in power, are they still in power? Because I don't think the film tells me anything about that.
We changed the situation. Simply put, the corrupt governing body of karate in Ontario was shut down. And the new organization that called now Ontario Karate Federation has taken its place. Of course, they have a difficult time now because there are many not good things were discovered. But it's much, much better than it was before. And of course, they approved tournaments, and my husband provided a series of these tournaments, and children got this training, they got tournaments, and everything now is fine.
So, okay, we got the background down. So I'm going to ask, did your husband bring you in for karate, or were you interested in karate before you started making the film?
Karate was his hobby before in Russia, but here in Canada he was really keen on karate, and he improved his level, and then my son started to go to karate, and of course I was interested in it because both of them love karate very much, And I started to read about it. I started to know more about people who practice karate. And I even was invited as a videographer to interview our elite karate athlete. It was a couple of very important events, and I prepared short videos about them.
I get it. Now I'm starting. Now the picture for the DVD is all starting to come together. What's your background, I wanted to know, also in filmmaking?
I started my career in Russia many, many years ago. I worked in first-rate TV channels, and I directed the shooting process of the TV shows, documentary, and weekly programs. I hold a master's degree of art. My first education, I graduated from Conservatory of St. Petersburg. Initially, I worked as the opera stage director. Then I changed. I switched to broadcasting system.
So let's get into your film a little bit. As I do have one more quick question before we get into the film.
Yes.
You do some interviews with people that speak a foreign language, which is fine. And you didn't have subtitles, and I do want to ask that question. So let me start there. When you're doing your interviewees, since English is not your first language,
yes,
did you have somebody helping you ask questions?
You know, I'm a little bit perfectionist, and I always prepare myself properly, and I always have a script of the interview. For me, it's very important because I want people to feel comfortable with me, and I want myself to feel comfortable with them, especially in this story when people were simply scared. Of course, I was prepared every time.
So let's pull back the curtain a bit during my show. You must really dislike me because I just sort of wing these questions. I have them in my head and they just come out. I didn't send you anything ahead of time.
No, no problem with it because it's a challenge and it's my problem. I understand it. I told myself, like, I have to be prepared anyway. So I listened to your podcast. I spent a few days, including today, on your website. And I got your style of leading interview, how you do it. I feel comfortable now. Well, just speak slowly.
I'll try. Okay, so let's get into your film.
Okay.
You have interviews with people that speak English and people that don't speak English.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, my first question before I ask where did you find them, I want to know why the woman that was speaking in a foreign language, you didn't choose to use subtitles as opposed to a female narrator who tells me what she's saying. Why was the choice in that?
I had two ladies. Originally, they were from Russia. And I preferred English-speaking narrator because I knew that I will also have caption subtitles. So if you would like to understand better, you can simply switch on subtitles and you will see what they say.
Oh, okay.
Some people prefer to listen narrator. Some people prefer to read.
So there you go. There's something I missed. How did you find these people? Are these people that you knew ahead of time? Did you find them you just found in the stands? Where did you find them?
Some of them knew me because I shooted elite athletes before. It was easy to talk to them. And there are many clubs participated in my husband's tournaments before. So I had some contact information. And I had some references. It wasn't difficult to find them. I knew a lot of them before this situation happened.
Did you have anybody who said no to the interview?
Yeah, it happened a couple of times. And they said no sometimes just because they didn't believe that it's possible to change. And I convinced them that anything is possible because it's all about children. And I like this country. And I believe that if people united, they can do a lot. And the results confirmed this feeling. Partly it was my intuition. I believed in Canadians. They can change the situation.
I do have a small issue with your film, which I do want to address here before people see it. You didn't have a lot of match play, and I hope I'm using the right term, in your film. Like, you do show moves, but it looks like more like demonstration as opposed to an actual contest. Why was that?
At some point, I realized that the most people don't know what karate is about. And what else I realized after my communication with some officials, I realized that they don't understand karate. They understand martial arts, but they don't see the difference between karate and judo. Judo and jiu-jitsu and something else. For me, it was like clear that if they don't understand what karate is about, how they can understand what happened and why it is so important to help karate society right now. That's why I decided to make it more educational. People need more information about it, and people need more understanding that Canadian karate is special. Otherwise, how they will support them if they don't understand the sport at all? I wanted to show different clubs, different style of karate, because karate is unique because it has different style inside of the system of karate, you know?
Oh, I do. I think you definitely put that across in your film, that there's different styles, there's different looks, because everybody you talk to has a different form of it. And they talk about that and how some people weren't allowed to learn other forms.
But my goal was to show that we have this here, and it's professional. It's not just hobby. It's much, much more than hobby. It should be business and should be professional sport, and this sport must be supported, because now it's a level when our athletes is ready to represent Canada internationally, and they really can bring glory to the country, but nobody supports them, and it's not fair. Okay, maybe it's not thriller. It doesn't have like Hitchcock suspense, visual effects, or a lot of fancy graphics, I don't know. It's more like educational. And this film is the first and unique study about karate in Canada. Okay, it's only one available research in this field.
Okay, I'm going to come at this from a different angle for you. You say karate is affordable compared to other sports.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, in Canada, hockey is the game to play for the most part. Right? So, I mean, and you're saying we don't, and then you say some provinces pay some pay nothing, some pay the whole thing. So I guess what I'm saying to you, why should we support karate? I mean, if kids want to play hockey or want to play soccer or want to do dance, why should we pay for karate when we have and those other sports can support themselves?
Good question.
I think anybody would argue with you that hockey's the same thing, dance is the same thing, soccer's the same thing, singing's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So my argument, I guess, to you when you're saying that, that is that if, like, everything, you got to pick what you want to do, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, you know?
It's a huge topic, you know?
Oh, I agree. We can go hours about this.
Like one coach said, karate is all about self-development, self-control, self-discipline. Karate practitioners, they usually teach children to be responsible. Sounds like rely on yourself all the time and be responsible for everything you do. It's universal. It's good for each level of development, like from 5-6 years old person to seniors. And I have seen in some dojos how seniors, they enjoy karate, and they told me they're happy being here because karate is only one sport that fits to our age, that we don't need doctors, we don't need medication. Or parents told me, my child became better students in school. Children could overcome bullying in school. So again and again, it's much more than sport. It's all about how to discover your own inner world.
Where do your numbers come? You have karate comes to Canada in 1957. And then you say the first tournament was held in 1962. Did you take this person's word for granted, or did you do some research?
I went to the library, and librarians, they brought me very, very old newspapers, and I could see it. I could see, like, announcements of those first tournaments. So I think it's true.
So I guess I should ask, would karate benefit greatly if I could actually see karate on a sports network like TSN or sports network or just on regular television? Not so much a movie, but I'm talking like a real tournament. So I see the beginning of the tournament and the end of the tournament.
You speak about real tournaments related to professional sport.
Yes. I've seen clips from the Pan Am Games maybe, or maybe the Olympics, but they don't really show the whole thing. They show maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes. So do you think karate could benefit from a little more exposure?
Of course. People are different, okay? Some people need more sport aspects. Some people need more traditional way of karate. It depends on personality, of course. And for today, what I can see, we have lack of information about karate. We can see on TV only a sport aspect. It's not enough, in my opinion. We need more demonstration, like Japanese people promoted karate. They invited the audience and they show them exercises, how they develop themselves. And I think such a demonstration would be much more effective than just watching TV.
Okay. I don't know. We're going to agree to disagree, but that's okay. You discuss in your film it's expensive to run a karate tournament because you need trophies, first aid, referees, etc. But you don't give me a cost. So I'm going to put you on the spot and ask you, how much does it cost to run a karate tournament? Because it's never stated.
It depends. Do you mean Toronto Karate Kids League tournament or just average tournament?
Whichever. You can give me both or whichever one you would like, because I don't know anything.
As I remember, the budget that I have seen of average karate tournament, one promoter here showed me the budget. It was about like $20,000 to provide one karate tournament.
Okay, but do they not make their money back with fees and things? Like, usually that's how they make their money back.
It's quite difficult. They usually ask parents to help. They have volunteers, a lot of volunteers. So it's not easy. If you remember, some coaches, they share how they organize tournament, and one of them said that you need an army to provide good prepared tournament.
Yes, of course. I think that's with any tournament, though, or any exhibition of anything. I think you need a lot of people. And good organization of the thing. So $20,000, okay. And also you have your people discussing travel costs and this and that. But to me, that's any parent would do that for their kid, no matter what their hobby is or what their sport is.
It's not so easy, you know, because when it's just hobby and you see how it's good for your children, yes, you pay for it. It's, you are a parent, you are interested in your child development, and you pay for it.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
When it comes to participation in national, for example, when it comes to participate in international competitions, it means that parent has to pay a lot for travel expenses, for accommodation, for everything, for nutrition. And now the difference is if child became an elite athlete, it means he or she represents Canada internationally. And I think it would be fair to support them financially, because now it's kind of job for them. And I know that elite athletes, the most of them, they have survival job and they quit universities just to represent Canada internationally, and they have nothing back. I think it's not fair. It's my personal opinion.
I think the problem is that these athletes don't have enough exposure to get sponsors.
Yeah, you're right. It's one of the reasons. Yeah.
And they need to promote themselves more. I don't mean to be rude, but any athlete that wants to make it to the international stage on a, I hate to use this term, but it's probably the correct term, a fringe sport is going to have to do more work than a hockey player or a football player or a basketball player.
The problem is government support, basketball, government support.
Yes.
Okay, very much. Figure skating.
Yes.
Some other sport. They don't support karate.
Correct. So that karate kid's going to have to work 10 times harder than a hockey player.
Yes, it's true. It's true. And they don't have budget to promote themselves, because any advertisement costs money.
Exactly.
Even Facebook promotion costs money, and they don't have such money. They don't have.
So you have some airport shots in your film.
Yes.
Where did you get those from?
I just wrote a letter as a journalist. And I asked the administration of airport to give me permission to shoot for my movie. I explained what this film is about, why do I need these shots, and they friendly agreed, and I got a written permission from them. It wasn't difficult.
Well, it would be for me, because I would have no idea how to do this, so that's why I'm asking.
If you go to the website of Pearson Airport, you will see the page, it's called media page or something like that. And you will see the list of rules. And if you follow rules, they will give you permission.
There you go. Now I know. So this film was finished. Did you send it to the government, or where did the film go in the end?
Of course, it was a list of government organizations that potentially could help with it. Some of them answered me, some of them supported this project, some of them not. Mostly it was good feedback.
Did the parents support you in the project after they saw the video? Or were you, I guess my question is, how did you get this film to people? Did you hand it to them? Did they have to buy it? How did this work? I mean, obviously the government you sent it to, I get that. But just the general karate audience, were they able to purchase the film?
The most difficult here in Canada is selling and distribution and broadcasting. This is a very difficult situation. I had the list of distributors, and it was a list of 80 leading Canadian distributors. And I sent 80 emails, and nobody responded. Of course, I was frustrated. I realized that I need maybe different way of distribution. And I tried to communicate with daughters and clubs, and they helped me a little bit. And also we sell via our website, and we have one store, online store. They sell equipment, sport equipment, and they sell our movie too. The best selling was to libraries. Libraries bought a lot of DVDs and Blu-rays from us, and they were very much appreciated to us. Toronto Public Library is the best. And a couple of colleges who provide sports program, they also interested in karate, and they bought some Blu-ray also from us. Then I sent a lot of emails to distributors in the United States, and a couple of them helped me too. So now we have Amazon, we have American Hub, we have some European video on demand channels. So we are good.
Has your film ever been shown in your home country of Russia?
Currently, I negotiate with some Russian channels, and as soon as I will translate it to Russia, they will probably broadcast it there too.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, are you ready for some fun questions?
Yes, but speak slowly.
I tried to make them easy for you. So, since your film is about karate, what is your favorite karate move?
Karate move?
Yes.
I like to watch kata. You know what karate means, by the way?
No.
From Japan. Karate means empty hand. It means you don't have weapon at all. Nothing to fight. Okay? It's the most peaceful martial art in the world. I'm not a sports person at all. But when I look at kata, I really enjoy looking at it. Especially when it's group kata, when they do it. It's synchronized movements. They do it together and they do it perfect. It's beautiful.
Your favorite place to visit other than Canada and Russia?
You know, I traveled a lot. I have been in so many countries, and each country is beautiful. If you have a goal to see something beautiful, I like to explore. I traveled in Finland, and I like central part of Finland. This is beautiful. Beautiful, peaceful people live there. I like Israel. I like Jerusalem. This is a wonderful historical place. I like Russia. I like beautiful St. Petersburg. It's my native city, and it's culture, it's art. It's a very unusual place. And of course, I like United States. I like New York, one of my favorite places in the world. You know, I like German, and I like Prague. I like Canada. I like Vancouver. I have been in Vancouver 20 years ago because my father, he was a violinist and he worked there. And I visited Vancouver. I visited Whistler. Beautiful places. I like mountain and ocean. And this combination, just I was so impressed. And I like Toronto.
Wow, I'm afraid to ask you my last question, but I'm going to ask it for you anyway.
Yeah.
Your favorite food?
Healthy food.
So what? Vegetables? I meant a meal. Maybe I should rephrase that. If you had a choice for one meal right now, what would it be?
It would be fresh salad and fresh juice. Like grapefruit juice, I like the most.
Tell everybody where they can find this great karate film.
They can go to Amazon Prime, and if they're a member of Prime, Amazon Prime, they can watch it for free. They can go to my website, www.invisionpro.com. We sell this movie. They can go to Toronto Public Library. And they can just go online and to Google it. There are many places sell this movie now.
And what should we expect next from you? Do you have another project you're working on, or we're waiting on that?
Yes, I have three projects. I'm thinking about feature film, and I have already prepared three comedies.
That's great. That's awesome.
Yeah. I'm thinking about writing a book about Canada specifically for immigrants to help them to feel comfortable here.
Well, thank you for your time. I hope you had a good time.
Yes, thank you so much. I hope everything was clear and the audience understood what I'm trying to say. And I'm very much appreciated for your show. It's just wonderful. And I like your website very much. And I hope we will work together again in the future.
I hope so. You have a great night. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, I just want to say thank you for listening to this great interview. We have more on our website at www.extrafeatures.ca. And if you enjoyed it, can you please go to iTunes and leave us an iTunes review and like us on our Facebook page. Thank you.